Blog Talk Radio.
BDPAI Radio showcases IT entrepreneurs, technology experts, and computer science academics. We highlight people with a passion for educating our youth in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. BDPAI Radio Show serves the BDPA members, sponsors, entrepreneurs, educational institutions, and the black community. BDPAI Radio, linking business, education, and technology.
Well, welcome to the BDPAI Radio Show. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and tonight is Tuesday, August 13th, 2013. And guess what? It is the first night of the 35th National BDPA Conference. So if you aren't in D.C., you still have time to get there. Now, we've got three exciting guests tonight. Our first guest is Mac Joyner, who is a software engineer with Texas Instruments. Our second guest is Chris Jackson, who is chief of staff at Deloitte. And our third guest is our one and only Pamela Sexton, conference director and VP of strategy and planning with National BDPA. So sit back and relax and get ready to be informed. What I'd like to do is read a little bit about our first guest, who is Mac Joyner, and his background is really very, very interesting. 17 years ago, he was a high school senior trained by BDPA Kansas City chapter to compete in the National BDPA High School Computer Competition Championship. And he's going to tell us a little bit more about that experience and how we got involved with BDPA. And after several years, he actually attended Rice University. He completed that application as a result of the participation in the computer competition. And the experience at Rice led to a number of doors opening, including the opportunity to complete his PhD in computer science at Rice University. So Dr. Joyner has research interests which include developing compilation strategies for object-oriented languages in high-performance scientific computing. Now, what I'd like to do is welcome Dr. Joyner. Dr. Joyner, how are you this evening?
Good. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it is really our pleasure. You know, it's we were sort of talking a little bit earlier before the show that the High School Computer Competition is one of three major reasons that people consistently volunteer and corporate sponsors get very, very excited about the organization. So often one of my first questions is, how did you find out about BDPA? And I'm wondering if you could sort of take us back to what got you involved in BDPA.
Sure. So when I was a high school junior, I had a good friend of mine who was a high school classmate, and he actually introduced me to BDPA. He told me about this opportunity to learn about computers and learn about competing at a national level with BDPA. And so he said three things that interested me. He talked about computers, which I was interested in. He talked about a national competition, which I was definitely interested in. And then he mentioned that it would be in Atlanta. And so in the 90s, Atlanta was the place to go. And so those three things got me excited, and I decided that I would join him on the Kansas City team to compete for an opportunity to go to Atlanta with the Kansas City chapter.
And what was that like?
It was actually pretty exciting because we would, you know, we'd get together as a team a few times a month on the Saturday. And at the time, I wasn't familiar with Visual Basic. And so it was, you know, all of us were essentially starting from scratch. And so you know, they spent, you know, our leaders spent a lot of time training us and getting us prepared. And so it was exciting as we were working up until, you know, the day when we would leave Kansas City to go to Atlanta. And I had never been to Atlanta before. And so I was excited about the opportunity to compete and represent, you know, Kansas City at a national level.
And how did your experience preparing for the competition, being at the conference, and just being part of the BDPA organization shape you as a high schooler?
I think the number one thing it did is it definitely reaffirmed the fact that I definitely wanted to pursue computer science when I got to college. You know, I spent the whole summer training for the competition. And the whole summer I was excited about it. I was excited about learning. I was excited about learning more about Visual Basic. And it really reaffirmed my desire to pursue computer science going into college at Rice University. And so I would definitely say that it set a really good foundation and kind of reaffirmed the fact that it, going into computer science and going into technology was something that I was definitely going to do.
So walk us a little bit through, you made that decision, you were excited about the opportunity to go to college and major in computer science. When you were pursuing that major, were you still involved in PDPA? You know, how did the actual experience of being a computer science major match up to your hopes and dreams of attaining that degree?
So I would say I wasn't, like, after the competition, I wasn't directly involved. Now, I would say after the competition, you know, I began to apply to schools, and I, you know, put on my application that I was part of the BDPA, I was part of this national competition. And, you know, I didn't realize the significance of the competition at the time. But it wasn't until I went on a campus tour of Rice University after I had been accepted my senior year, and I came down, and I was just visiting the campus for a couple of days, and I ran into an admission officer, and they said, "Hey, I recognize your name. You're the guy who did that computer competition." I was like, "Yeah," and I was amazed that they remembered me based on that competition. And they basically said your application stood out from others because you had participated in the competition itself, and that's what made your application stand out for others.
Wow, that is phenomenal. And we're, you know, on this show, I hear so many great stories from people around the competition. And that's an important one to share with students and parents as well as sponsors, that the experience gives students a competitive edge in the application process.
Definitely.
So you completed your undergraduate degree, and then you decided to pursue a PhD. Tell us a little bit about that and how that maybe, you know, influenced what you then did after graduating with your doctorate.
Sure. So as you said, I decided to pursue a PhD after my undergraduate degree in computer science. I've always had a desire and a love for teaching, and so I decided to pursue a PhD primarily because of that reason. And, you know, again, an opportunity was opened at Rice University to pursue that PhD, and so that's where I ended up obtaining my PhD, was from Rice University about 5 years ago. And, you know, upon completing my degree, I decided to join Texas Instruments as a software engineer. And I also teach on the side. So I teach computer science at Texas Southern University as an adjunct faculty member.
And as you're teaching and working, what are you seeing in students today and in terms of their interest in technology, their acceptance of technology? What are some of the trends that you're seeing in technology students today?
So I work at, when I teach, I work at Texas Southern University, which is a historically black college university. And so the interesting thing there is that you do see students that are interested and they're motivated, but a lot of times they don't have the training at an early age. And so there's a lot of, you know, catch up that has to go on because they just haven't had the opportunities. They haven't had the experience. And they haven't had things like BDPA to train them and get them prepared for college courses. And so a lot of times because I teach primarily an intro to computer science course, you know, a lot of times it's helping them to catch up to speed on where they should be. And so that's what I see with working at Texas Southern University.
Now, some of our listeners, as will be high school students who, and often college students, are listening. Can you share a little bit about what you do as a software engineer and how your educational experience prepared you for that position?
Sure. So I am the lead of what's called the compiler group, the support compiler support group. And what we do is the compiler is basically a software application that takes as input a program and produces an output, a better program. And so sometimes what happens is, as engineers, we don't always do that correctly. And so we make mistakes and we send those mistakes out into the field and to our customers. And then what happens is our customers alert us and say, hey, we found a mistake here. Can you fix it? And so my primary responsibility is to, when those requests come in, I have to, prioritize which ones are the most important. And then we fix them based on priority. And so we have customers all over the world, China, Germany, Toronto. So we have to, support all of those customers. And, they, of course, expect us to fix all their problems the next day. And so we have to work with them, let them know, when exactly we're going to have something fixed for them and out the door. And so we have to keep our customers happy. So I spend a lot of time, managing expectations of customers and working with my team to coordinate who's going to work on what and when it's going to be available, and making sure that we meet the proper deadlines based on expectations that we've laid out for our customers.
So it sounds like your responsibilities definitely involve technology and leadership and communication skills and project management skills are all also very, very important.
Right. And you learn a lot of those things, as even at the BDPA competition, you learn how to, when I was on the competition, I don't know if it's changed in 17 years, but there were a number of problems that we had to solve in a limited time frame. And that's the exact same thing that you face in industry. You have a number of problems that you need to solve, and you have a limited time to solve those problems. And so as a group, then, you have to strategize who's going to work on what and how can we get the most work done in the shortest amount of time and make sure that it's done well. And that's pretty much the scenario that we had at the national competition. So I really think it prepares you for industry.
So when you look back at BDPA, and again, tonight is the start of the national conference. When you look back at your BDPA experience and kind of project forward, what are some of the skills and talents that you hope that high school students will develop so that, 8 years, 10 years, when they enter the work world after getting their master's or optional training, that they'll have and that they're able to kind of hit the ground running and get the best experience for themselves as a professional and also contribute effectively in the technology field. So essentially, what skills do you think high school students and college students should work on gaining?
Sure. So I think, from the competition, when I look back 17 years ago and where I am now, I think number one was really learning how to solve difficult problems in a team environment. And so sometimes what you'll find is there are people who have maybe a specialized skill set to solve one type of problem. And so, one of the things you do is you have to figure out, okay, I have this big problem or I have a lot of problems. I've got to figure out how can we efficiently and effectively solve these problems quickly. And so one is just you learn how to communicate with your team, how to rally around a problem that is difficult. Sometimes you don't know initially how to solve it, and so you're talking about, okay, what are the possible solutions? Okay, this is a possible solution. Is that the best design? Is that a solution that is going to be effective, a year from now? Are we going to have to take that solution and then essentially redo it? So you learn how to, you solve the problem, but you solve it in the right way. And I think that was one of the things that, I learned in part at BDPA, the competition itself, is we were given problems and you look at it and you say, okay, who can solve this the quickest because we've got to develop the work? And then are we attacking the problem in the right way? So you learn problem solving skills, you learn how to delegate, you learn how to communicate, you learn how to take, if you're not the one who's giving the direction or delegating, then you learn how to take advice from, team members and listen to, what team members have to say, and then, maybe you're implementing something based on their advice. And so it really teaches you how to be a team. It teaches you how to communicate. It teaches you how to be a leader. It teaches you how to solve problems. And I think those are the things that I learned, 17 years ago that I think still are very applicable today.
Wow, that's so exciting. What do you see? I mean, we're in August of 2013, and of course, technology is always evolving. What are some of the technology trends that you see on the horizon that, regardless of who the iRadio show audience is, whether a member or a sponsor or a parent or a high school student or college student, what are some technology trends that folks need to be aware of? And if they're TI-based, that's fine. What should people be thinking about and why?
Sure. So there's a term called multi-core computing. And what it is, so there was a time when you could increase the performance of a central processing unit or a CPU or a processor. You could increase the performance of that processor by just adding transistors. And so you would have one processor, you can constantly add more and more transistors, and that processor would be faster. And about every 18 months, you would see that the performance of a CPU would roughly double in terms of speed. Well, there a problem happened, physics, where you know there's only so many transistors that you can put on a single chip. And so now what's happening is that people are recognizing I can't get more performance by putting more transistors on the chip. So what I've got to do is actually add more chips. And so multi-core is that, where you're putting more processors in one computer, and then you're getting the performance by having multiple processors work simultaneously. And so you'll see a lot of times, especially in academia, in the technology side, you'll see a lot of people when they're going for grants, they're somehow trying to throw in that term multi-core processing because they know that that's a hot topic. And so I would say that's one of the things that people need to know about and understand.
Great. So, Mac, as we wrap up the interview, what's the final thought that you'd like to leave our audience with? I mean, you really gave us a nice explanation and sharing of your BDPA high school computer competition experience. You talked a little bit about your college experience, what you're doing currently, shared with us a little bit about technology. What would you like to leave our audience with?
So first, I'd like to say that I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity to be a part of BDPA and for the doors that they helped open, or you helped open. And so I first want to say thank you for the opportunity. I am very grateful for that. And the other thing I would like to leave you with is at TI, and I'll try to be brief, but at TI we've had 3 layoffs in 5 years. And so I've noticed that there's a couple of keys to trying to avoid being laid off. One is you want to make sure that not only are you working on the things that at the time are needed, but the things that are important. And the second thing that I've noticed is that it's important to work on a diversity of things, because sometimes the thing that is important today is not important tomorrow. And so if that is the primary thing that you're working on, a lot of times then, you know, that person will be the person that gets laid off. And so I would leave, you know, viewers with, you make sure whatever you're doing, you're working on something that's important and you have a diversity of skill sets and things that you're working on.
Wow, that is very, very powerful advice. And one of the, it's a really nice tie-in to one of the benefits of being a BDPA member, and that is on a monthly basis and even sometimes on a weekly basis, depending on your chapter, members have access to technical development, professional development, opportunities to network, opportunities to volunteer. And so within the BDPA family, they have a chance to take skills that they are developing at work and leverage them, and then also take skills and experiences that they've developed from BDPA and put that back into their work so that they do actually have the opportunity to work on what's important at work and work on a diversity of things. So that's really wonderful, wonderful advice. Thank you so much for being on the show. Congratulations again for really a phenomenal journey. You know, we talk about at BDPA, you know, it's from the classroom to the boardroom, and it's from the classroom really to leadership opportunities. So thank you for the work that you're doing, inspiring our young people and contributing to thought leadership and technology.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Well, have a great evening, and we look forward to having you back on the show at another time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do now is take a brief break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and when we come back, we will interview our second guest, Chris Jackson.
What do Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and Mark Zuckerberg have in common?
They all learned computer coding before high school.
Funutation has taught more than 1,000 kids to code through their summer tech camp.
In a fun and non-threatening way.
Tech camps run only during the summer, so register now at
www.funutation.com or call 216-378-9035.
Sorry, to keep the camps fun, no adults allowed.
Funutation Academy, LLC, making the world computer smarter.
Well, welcome back to the BDPA iRadio Show. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and our second guest this evening, which just happens to be the first night of the 35th Annual BDPA National Conference, is Chris Jackson. And Chris Jackson is the Chief of Staff for Deloitte Growth Enterprise Services, and he's going to share with us a little later exactly what that means and how that is connected to technology. Chris is a frequently requested lecturer on global competitiveness, emerging technology, and technology strategy. And he is involved in the development of cloud ERP capabilities within Deloitte Innovation, and his consulting expertise spans IT strategy, business alignment, and pre- and post-IT merger integration. He is also going to be a presenter at this year's conference, and his topic will be ERP in the Cloud, What You Need to Know. So, Chris, welcome to the BDPA iRadio Show. How are you this evening?
I'm great, Fran. How are you?
Excellent. I am just excellent. And I do understand that you are on the ground at the conference, and I believe that the HBCU panel is in session. So I do want to make sure that you get a chance to enjoy the networking and the sharing of information tonight. And I also want to make sure that our iRadio Show audience has the pleasure of hearing what you have to share with us this evening. So, again, thank you for being on the show. So, let's start off. Yeah, thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much for being on the show. Now, one of the questions I do ask fairly regularly is, I ask, how did you first find out about BDPA and what's kept you involved? So, I'll ask that of you tonight as well.
My involvement with BDPA began back in 1995 when I was working at Microsoft as a pre-sales systems engineer. Our most recent former chapter president in St. Louis, Mark Grady, engaged me back then to speak, actually, when I was working at Microsoft on a technology topic. I don't recall what it was, and has persistently kept me engaged through a number of years, very passionate about BDPA.
So you had an involvement fairly early on in sharing information and in speaking, which, you know, one of the reasons that you're here at the conference this year is that you are a workshop speaker. Can you tell us a little bit about your topic and why it's a topic that you're uniquely positioned to be a presenter on?
Well, first, I'm part of our technology and strategy architecture practice within Deloitte Consulting, or the technology part of their business, in addition to the chief of staff role that I hold. So my focus specifically is strategy and emerging technology. So at the conference, I'll be speaking on cloud ERP, specifically a number of things around cloud and what we term as the post-digital age. And I'll touch on that, I think, probably later through the conversation, but for terms of definition, the post-digital age is, if you think about the industrial age, when a series of events happened, manufacturing, process, the railways, they sparked a growth, a rapid growth through our country. Well, if you think about that from a technology standpoint, we're really entering a stage where you've got five elements that are happening concurrently. So think about mobility and cloud technology, social business, if you will, social networking, social business, the advent of analytics, as well as, you know, security and cyber intelligence. So each of those trends in and of themselves are disruptive on a very large scale. But we happen to have a confluence of where all these things are happening concurrently and creating a true change that's altering the way in which we do business. And I'll talk about that, I'm sure, through the course of the conversation. So wanted to give that context, and that's one of the things that I'll hope to cover at a little bit through the conference and through other dealings with BDPA in the future.
That's wonderful. Now, you know, that is, you know, to be a workshop presenter requires you to gain expertise. You mentioned at the start of the interview that you were with Microsoft. Can you tell us a little bit about your career progression and how you got into the role as Chief of Staff for Deloitte?
Sure. Background, just for the sake of conversation fairly quickly, 10 years in the Air Force. From there, I took a job with EDS, Electronic Data Systems. At the time, they had a tremendous technology training program that taught me networking, project management, software development, RAD and JAD design, which gave me a great foundation and largely was why I was recruited away to Microsoft. I went from Microsoft to Ernst & Young, left Ernst & Young to start a company, which we started and sold during the dot-com time, it's a company called Proficient now, and then worked at KPMG/Baring Point and came to Deloitte about 5 years ago through an acquisition. Deloitte bought one of Baring Point's practices, and Pricewaterhouse bought the other part of Baring Point. So that's kind of how I got here. The Chief of Staff role has grown out of some work that I did for Deloitte for the Americas region around mid-market private company initiatives. I did a strategy project for who is my boss, who's now our national technology leader, or practice leader for consulting, and was asked to stay on operationalize that strategy. So, therefore, I was pulled into the Chief of Staff role.
And what are some of the, you talked about the trends that are influencing the cloud. What are some of the trends, and Mac touched on trends that he saw, what are some of the trends that you're seeing that BDPA members, particularly those that are interested in furthering their career within technology, need to pay attention to, and also how should they pay attention to those trends so that, you know, that furthers their career and or their personal development?
Well, as I mentioned, there are a number of factors that are changing what I would say, you know, changing the business environment to a new normal. But specifically, I guess, let me think about it from a recruiting standpoint. So what skills are going to be most in demand in the next several years? Because they will follow along those trends. And there's some very exciting things happening. So from a technology standpoint, I think getting skills within analytics, any aspect of analytics, but the demand and need is going to be there for data analytics. So it requires you to have an understanding of database technologies, an understanding of how to manipulate and program that information, but also an understanding of business and how to interpret that information, because businesses are moving towards what we call predictive analytics, meaning that I can now manage my business predictively through a series of metrics and data that I already have access to in my corporation, but I may not understand actually how to use it and what that data itself means. So that's one area that I'd say. Now, there's a confluence of, you know, what we call mobile computing and what I call social mobile computing, and that's changing the dynamic of how people interact with their customers. So a new skill that I think we're seeing more are people that understand clearly customer-facing processes as well as the supporting technologies to enable those processes that tend to be there within that aspect of the business environment. Certainly security, is, as anyone knows, watches this on news, is an area that I think is a trend area that's certainly worth a lot of attention, a lot of focus from our audience in terms of a career path, because it's not going to go away. Deloitte talks about that in their technology trends report, that all specifically calls out, security as a growth area, and no one is going to be hack-proof. So that's an area that's probably a growing area as well. Now, there's one thing that's really exciting for me, and it's not necessarily technology. It's technology-related, but not technology in terms of the BDPA typical structured IT type of technology. But there's 3D printing. And 3D printing is going to be revolutionary. So being able to understand kind of what that means to the manufacturing environment, because it's going to create and disrupt a number of jobs in the way that we know manufacturing today. And so that's a technology I would suggest a lot of people follow, because that disruption is going to create and destroy a lot of jobs and positions in the process. So understanding that and being able to catch sort of the hype cycle as the demand for that skills or those skill sets are peak demand, that will ensure job security, certainly good salaries, because it's a supply and demand issue.
Now, speaking of, like, focusing on the 3D printing, for example, where would someone go to get that training and or exposure? I don't recall in the interviews that topic coming up, so I don't know if there's a chapter that's right now giving workshops on that or if there's a certification program. So what are some of your thoughts on that?
Necessarily an IT-oriented solution. It's a way in which you can, say, take a manufacturing part that I can render it in a 3D CAD system and actually print that and create that part from scratch out of the 3D dimensional rendering through an advanced printing process. So, for example, we had a client that had a part that broke down. They recreated that part on-site and were able to actually use it in the interim. Until they got the part that was the right tolerance that they actually needed. So you think about that. What that does is disrupt the entire manufacturing supply chain of how parts are delivered, how they're created, et cetera. So it's very disruptive, but from an IT standpoint, there are elements of it that are IT-related, but not directly. But it will create a shift of how IT is used, a shift of how business is done. But if you think about the importance for our audience, or the BDPA audience, it's understanding business and how we can relate technology to it or to use technology to enable a given business process. And technically, both technology and business will be in the most demand and will probably be compensated in the most high band within the marketplace.
Very, very exciting. Sounds like a potential topic for the 2014 National Conference. But I'm getting ahead of myself. What about some lessons that you've learned along the way that you feel might be helpful for our audience to know about?
Sure. Since we got a broad one, I'll give you a couple. Two that are personal to me that my mother and my grandmother used to tell me. My great-grandmother, Marty Lyons, used to tell me that common sense is not common. And I've, over my years, learned the power and, the breadth of that statement. The other thing my mother taught me that I think has aided me in my career on a number of levels is that it's important at an early age, she made sure that I learned as much as I could, and she instilled that on me. So you continue to learn and learn as much as you can, because no one can take away what you know, and the knowledge that you have can truly be a differentiator. That's important for, people of color to be able to kind of break through places that we may not have been able to go. I just acknowledge our prior guest named his PhD, and clearly I'm sure that's helped him along his career trajectory and in terms of the way he looks at the world around him. So I think that's an important thing. But the other thing I'd say is that, try to get a – he touched on one point that really resonated. Try to get a broad breadth. I mentioned that I'm in technology architecture. So to be a good technology architect or business architect, it requires you to understand a number of different technologies. I've got to understand application development, networking, security, organizational elements of IT. I need to understand data. So if you get a good breadth of skills, particularly at the earlier stage of your career, it helps you do a couple things. It helps you understand kind of what you have an affinity for or what you may be really, really good at. Or it helps you understand the breadth of them. So if you want to do strategy work like myself or design work like our prior guest, it also helps you to understand how other aspects are brought in to actually design an entire system as opposed to working on many parts as many of us do in a large corporation or a large corporate setting.
Very, very powerful. Now, you, again, you have had an extended relationship with BDPA. You are at the conference this year as a presenter. And when I was speaking with Wayne, he said that you're a technology thought leader because, you know, you're integrating, again, as you mentioned, solutions, technology, leadership, systems, and you're doing it on the strategy side, which is really that connector between the business of doing the business and the business of helping your customers, because that's why they choose you over someone else. As you look on the horizon and as you counsel maybe individuals at Deloitte who might not be part of BDPA or other professionals that are looking for ways to be more effective in the workplace, why, in your opinion, and or how are professional organizations like BDPA one of the ingredients that can enrich a person's professional development and personal development?
Well, BDPA plays a critical role, in my opinion, in terms of what I would say the IT lifecycle and IT pipeline of future candidates. BDPA accepts, you know, people of color, not just blacks. The name's a little bit dated, but it accepts all people of color and diversity relative to that. And I think that that's important for, you know, our global economy. So BDPA starts, as our prior guest said, is a good example, a perfect example, actually, for this statement. It allows you to grow and open up opportunities to things that we may not realize or we may not know. And as a person of color, I grew up, you know, fairly disenfranchised. So there were many things I just didn't even know about or wasn't aware. For BDPA is a channel to introduce kids to many things that they may not see based on their circumstance. From a corporate standpoint, it's a good way, as your guest was a good example, prior guest, to look at people and kind of tap into talent, future talent, because the high school computer competition, for example, it teaches kids project management, it teaches them software development, it teaches them how to work in a team, which is remarkably important in this global economy. It also teaches them how to present, how to be confident in themselves, and how to, you know, complete something start to finish. So those are core skills that corporations look for, and we're getting these kids these things in high school, which makes them, I would argue, much better in a collegiate environment, and certainly if they've done it and built it and been involved through that period, certainly much better employees. So I think BDPA plays a very, very critical role.
That's so exciting to hear. I mean, it's, you know, I certainly, as the host of the radio show, have a passion and a commitment to BDPA. And one of the things that is very exciting every second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is I get to hear from a variety of individuals who have different types of connections to BDPA and hear how BDPA is important, what role it's played in their life, how they're sort of taking it forward through BDPA, and the impact that they're able to have within their organization, whether it's entrepreneurially or intrapreneurially, whether it's from a technology standpoint or a leadership standpoint. So it's really, really very exciting. And I definitely appreciate that you're taking some time out of your evening to share your experiences with us. Chris, as we wrap up the interview this evening, what's the final thought that you'd like to leave our audience with?
I'll say that something I say typically in a class, a session I teach through for global competitors. You know, the audience, they're competitors, but not just in the U.S. The competitors are global. So the students, the people that you're genuinely going to compete with once you finish school, they could be halfway around the world when you look at our kind of disconnected talent economy, if you will. So it's important to understand that and don't just bench yourself against those that you may currently be in school with and what you're dealing with. It's also important to try and get the broadest breadth of experience and knowledge that you can. Ask questions. Ask lots and lots of questions. Never be afraid to ask and never be afraid to stop learning because there's an economic payoff for that over time. But two, you'll just grow and be a better contributor to our overall society.
Wow. Very, very inspiring. Chris, thank you again for joining us on the show. Have a great time learning and contributing and leading at the show. Thank you so much for getting other folks in Deloitte involved and being a thought leader, being the thought leader that you are. So thank you again for being a guest tonight.
Thanks for having me on, Grant. Have a great night.
You're welcome. Well, BDPAI Radio Show listeners, as I mentioned at the top of our show, tonight is the very first night of the 2013 National BDPA Conference. It's being held in Washington, D.C., and it is not too late for you to be there as well. Lots of activities going on. As Pamela has shared with us over the last few months, there are opportunities to actually obtain certification in Scrum. There are professional development workshops in leadership, in technology. There are activities for the high school computer competition participants. There's a youth technology conference. There are certainly plenty of networking activities, entertainment activities. There's the Saturday night gala on Saturday afternoon. There's the golf classic. There are a number of very interesting and plenary luncheons and plenary sessions. The CIO forums this year are open to registrants of the conference, and on Friday and Saturday, for free, we do have the BDPA Career Fair. So there's lots of activity going on. If you are anywhere on the Eastern Seaboard, you can easily jump on Amtrak, you can get on Volt Bus, you can get on Megabus, and get to D.C. in literally a matter of hours. And, of course, airplanes fly into D.C. from all over the world. As Chris mentioned, it's a global economy, so make sure that you're checking out your next mentor, your next collaborator, and perhaps your next competitor by attending this year's national conference. I'd like to thank again our guest this evening. Our first guest was Mac Joyner, Dr. Mac Joyner, who is a software engineer with Texas Instruments, and our second guest, Chris Jackson, who is chief of staff at Deloitte. I'm Fran McNeil, and for the entire BDPAI radio team, thank you again for listening, and join us the second and the fourth Tuesday of every month. And since we're just at the second Tuesday, you can tune in on Tuesday, August 27th, and hear us as we talk with our next series of guests. Have a great evening.
BDPAI Radio, linking business, education, and technology. The BDPAI Radio Show creates a vibrant communications platform that speaks to all BDPA stakeholders. hosted by Fran McNeil, sponsored by the BDPA Education and Technology Foundation and the Executive Director, Wayne Hicks, produced by Everaldo Gallimore, technical advice by John Melanson. BDPA iRadio broadcasts the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. Join us on blogtalkradio.com/BDPA. BDPA iRadio showcases IT entrepreneurs, technology experts, and computer... BDPA iRadio showcases IT entrepreneurs, technology experts...
What do Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and Mark Zuckerberg have in common? They all learned computer coding before high school.
Funutation has taught more than 1,000 kids to code through their summer tech camps.
Funutation uses their trademark Teams approach so that kids can experience technology, engineering, arts, math, and sciences in a fun and non-threatening way.
Tech camps run only during the summer, so register now at www.funutation.com or call 216-378-9035. Sorry, to keep the camps fun, no adults allowed.
Funutation Academy, LLC, making the world computer smarter.
What do Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and Mark Zuckerberg have in common? They all learned computer coding before high school.
Funutation has taught more than 1,000 kids to code through their summer tech camps.
Funutation uses their trademark Teams approach so that kids can experience technology, engineering, arts, math, and sciences in a fun and non-threatening way.
Tech camps run only during the summer, so register now at www.funutation.com or call 216-378-9035. Sorry, to keep the camps fun, no adults allowed.
Funutation Academy, LLC, making the world computer smarter.